Good evening and welcome to our call-in program tonight on KPBX and KSFC. I'm Doug Nadvornik, the program director and news director for Spokane Public Radio. Every year around this time, we open our doors to the public. For the last couple of hours, we've been giving people tours of our renovated firehouse studios, and we've had quite a group coming in tonight. Very impressive turnout. We fed them cookies and coffee from Craven's Coffee, and we've been answering questions. And so now, for the next hour, we're going to give those of you who couldn't visit in person the chance to call on the phone with your comments and your questions. The number here in Spokane is 328-5729. Outside the city, it's 1-800-328-5729. If you're not interested in being on the radio tonight or you don't want to sit on hold, you can call our listener line at 509-232-6904. Leave a comment at the beep. Or you can leave a question and comment on SPR's Facebook page. Or you can email us at kpbx@kpbx.org. Here in the studio with our general manager, Kerry Boyce, with our chief financial officer, Linda Stowe, and our program director emeritus, Vern Windham, our music director. We're here to take calls about programming, about membership, whatever you care to ask. Our chief engineer, Jerry Olson, is around if you have questions related to the radio signal. So I have some programming things that we can talk about, but for anybody else, want their first shot here at the listeners?
No, thanks.
No?
Well, I'll come in and talk about my changing status. This is Vern Windham, and when one reaches a certain age, one decides to let somebody else make the decisions. And so it was about three-fourths of a year ago that I quit being program director after having enjoyed that for a long time, equally enjoying that Doug Nadvornik is doing it now. I'm the music director and the arts director, and so that means not only music, but it means the literary things that we do, too, all the arts and music things that we do here. And that's been fun for me to really focus on that, as I take on a different role. So that's my slightly changing status here on the air, essentially as much as I've always been.
Well, I think you're probably busier than ever because you're cycling people in pretty much every morning with interviews and overseeing the bookshelf and everything. So hopefully taking all the paperwork away from you has helped.
It's been nice, and certainly for our mandate to really try to speak to the area. And so all of the interviews, especially the theatrical interviews, and the way that we've tried to really go wholeheartedly into covering theater, all the great theater in our area. We just had a brand new theater in Coeur d'Alene that appeared here the first time on the airwaves yesterday. And so it's really thrilling to see that groundswell of theater. And it's very much our job to make sure that everybody knows about this amazing theatrical aspect of our area.
I'd just like to say that we've been a beneficiary, and I think our communities have been benefited from an enormous talent pool here for many, many years. And so, yes, we've had some changes, and usually those changes are to accommodate semi-retirements, and so also to try to expand our capability of covering the news in the area. And currently, so we've done great work, I think, in the news, and currently we have an initiative on the way, on the rails, to actually expand our coverage of cultural activities in the area, as Vern was just discussing.
So a few of the other changes, you may have noticed that we've switched a couple of familiar news voices, moved them to different times. Peter Glarborg in the afternoon has moved to the morning, and Steve Jackson from the morning to the afternoon. The rationale behind it was to give Steve some extra hours so we could increase our local news production, and that allows Steve about one extra day a week in terms of hours to be able to do that. I think the transition's going well. You may have heard some of the voices of our interns. Jared Brown from Gonzaga, his final day is tomorrow. We've been pleased to have him here. He and Jeremy Burnham worked on election night for us. Jeremy worked with us over the summer. He's from Eastern. He was the managing editor for the paper out there. Made a great impression on me, as did Jared. And Meg McLean from Gonzaga, we're pleased to note she did some nice feature work for us over the summer, and she will begin work as an online reporter and editor at KXLY very soon. So we're happy to have that pipeline to other places from people who were trained here at Spokane Public Radio. A couple other programming notes. Beginning in January, we will debut a new locally produced blues program, Saturday nights at 10 on KPBX. The host is a veteran blues musician. His name is Jesse Warburton, also known as Brother Music. Those of you in Sandpoint may be familiar with him. He hosted a blues program on KPND up in Sandpoint for many years. Now he lives in Coeur d'Alene. Still does blues gigs around the West. And a few months ago, he approached us about doing a program on the radio. And so he's coming. He's done about three pilot programs. He's met and played with some of the country's finest blues musicians. He has great stories, great knowledge about the blues, and we're eager to hear him beginning in January. Speaking of that, just some things you might be we might ask you to comment on. Have you heard Jim Tevenin's new regional arts program called Northwest Arts Review? It's on Thursdays at 12:30 on KPBX, Thursdays at 3:30 on KSSC. Jim and our new producer, Chris Messini, put that together. Chris is a young guy who's been a tremendous addition to our staff. He also works on the bookshelf, does lots of other things, including some marketing work for us. Also, Jim does a music program in the afternoon, labeled appropriately A Little Afternoon Music. One of the replacement programs for Performance Today, the other program, that's at 2 on Monday through Thursday, and the other is Bill McLaughlin's Exploring Music at 3. And for KSFC listeners, do you like the new hosts of On Point, Meghna Chakrabarty and David Folkenflik? They're the replacements for Tom Ashbrook and the new host of The Takeaway, Tanzina Vega. So if you have those things you want to talk about or other things you want to ask about, call us at 1-800-328-5729 or leave a message at our listener comment line, 509-232-6904. Email kpbx at kpbx.org or leave a message on our SBR Facebook page. Okay, do we want to go to calls now?
Let's do.
Okay, so let's go to our first call. Hello, welcome on the air with us tonight. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Jane Fritz, Doug.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. I will be very brief. I just wanted to, first of all, say, just to answer your question you just posed, that, yes, I really like everything Jim Tevenin does, all of your classical music and all of your jazz productions, including all of the new shows in the evenings. They're wonderful. And I'm also a big fan of Chris Messini. I think he's doing really wonderful work with the bookshelf and the arts program after your news program on Thursday. So that's my first comment, but I am still very unhappy and concerned about the loss of living on Earth. I think it's the most important, in my book, one of the most important news programs out there, because the things that are happening with our present presidential administration are shocking. And just one environmental group that I support, Earth Justice, has 133 lawsuits against the Trump administration on environmental law. So it's like you don't get the news on regular NPR, and the new program on climate.
Climate One.
You know, change. Yeah, Climate One is good. I've listened to it, but it just doesn't hold a candle to living on Earth. Living on Earth, I've been listening to it online, and I know I can do that. But most people won't. And I just would really like to beg KPBX to bring back this important program. I know it's a funding issue, but I just think, and maybe it's the time of day that it airs, but I think we need it now more than ever. And as a former producer for the program, with local issues, there are local issues that would never have been covered anywhere else in depth. And I'm not doing that now presently, but I think there are other Northwest producers who do, and it's just really important to get the issues that are of concern to people who live in the Pacific Northwest on public radio on a national basis. You do a great job, but the real in-depth feature stories, you know, 6 to 10 to 15 minutes long, just, you know, aren't being done except on Living on Earth. So thank you for listening, and I hope you'll address this soon.
Thank you, Jane. I've always appreciated your passion, and thank you for calling. Carrie?
Yeah, Jane actually called about this during Fundrive, and thank you, Jane, for that. We do appreciate your comments. Just a brief background on what happened. So Public Radio International, which carries Living on Earth, carries a host of programs that we carry, and their pricing was just exponentially expensive. So we were under some negotiation. We were actually in the process of moving everything off of, I forget, what was it, KSFC? Or was it the other way around?
KPBX.
Okay, yeah. So we're in the process of actually removing all PRI programs from KPBX to put them on KSFC. PRI didn't like that idea. So, but we saved something along the lines of $20,000 in the process. This was very helpful. Somehow Living on Earth was kind of caught in the middle of things as we looked for replacement options, and Climate One came to light. Climate One looked like, and still looks like, that they are gathering the most contemporary and important thinkers on climate, the environment, and we felt some obligation to actually give it a try. Nothing is necessarily written in stone here, and things are always changing, as you know. But anyway, we invite listeners to chime in and let us know what they think. Do they like the new program? Please let us know. And thank you, Jane, again, for commenting.
The number is 1-800-328-5729. Lines are all open if you want to jump in here. Or, again, you can go leave a message on our SBR Facebook page. We've handed Vern a card. Vern is reading here. Is this something that we need to...
Yeah, this is a message somebody wanted to leave rather than ask us directly. So I'll simply read it, and especially you, Doug, and Carrie can come in. This person says, I hear more examples of partisan journalism on NPR these days. Do you agree it is happening? And if so, what can be done about it?
Oh, I guess I'll take that one, too. It's always worth taking a look at NPR's ethics guidelines. They're online at ethics.npr.org, and I review them myself periodically. I think, personally, that they do an exceptional job of trying to report the facts, of trying to give context for the facts, and I think NPR is one of the few places. BBC, I think, is also very good at this, but that's their mission. I have heard on occasion where I thought that NPR reporters or the hosts have stepped over that boundary from time to time. The first thing I've done is pick up the phone and called NPR, and I've got a fairly direct line to the CEO. Well, I did. He's just retiring now, so he's a what's the term, lame duck? In any case, we're all human, and we do the best we can. And I think they've actually got a watchdog at NPR who's in charge of their standards, and I think he gives them a fairly close listen. So nobody's perfect. It's National Public Radio, not National Perfect Radio, I think I heard somebody say. So in any case, I agree that it does happen. I think, though, people are – or at least try to be aware of their own bias, their own prejudice. And everybody has them. It's just a matter of, can you control them? And at the very least, I think we can try to be fair. My most frequent complaints, and I try to answer all of them. So if somebody writes, I write back. If somebody emails, I'll email back. That, you only covered this side of the story. And usually I take a look, and the first thing I do is take a look on the NPR website, and almost invariably there is the other side of the story, but radio is a very linear thing. So I would encourage you to listen to the throughout the week to the same program at the same roughly the same time, and chances are very good you're going to hear a rebuttal, another perspective, and that too is part of our job.
And I think if you have your own questions and comments, contact the NPR directly, because they like to be able to hear from stations and people all around the country as well. I guess my one complaint is that sometimes they're a little Washington-centric. As in Washington, D.C. centric. And so that would be my complaint, is that sometimes we hear an awful lot about Washington and not enough about the rest of the world.
That, too, is really
true.
And station managers from around the West Coast and even the Midwest have worked assiduously to actually counter that. So you may be hearing, I think you are hearing, quite a few more stories out of the West Coast. And that's been intentional.
So. Well, I think it's also been a time that people paying particular attention to the news these days. And so I think it's really great that people are – my wife, for example, I think over the last couple of years has become much more interested in the news. And so I think we may have difficult times, but I think it's great that people are paying more attention to what's going on. And so we're waiting for your calls. This is an hour for you, and we line this up for you to give you the opportunity to ask us questions at 1-800-328-5729, or if you can go to our listener comment line, if you're not feeling being on the air tonight is your thing, 509-232-6904. If there are other things that you would like to hear, I'll just throw out an idea. We've been talking for a while about, is there a way, since a Prairie Home Companion went away on Saturday afternoons, do you like the replacement programs? We've got Live Wire at 3 o'clock and then, sorry, it's just flown
the
right
moth.
At the Moth at 4 o'clock. I'm interested maybe in hearing, do you want to hear more music on a Saturday? Do you like On Point on Saturday at noon? If you have thoughts about that, those are things that we're open to. Let us know what you hear about a local blues program. Are you excited about hearing that? 1-800-328-5729 is the question.
Yeah, because certainly the Saturday issue, obviously there was no matter what would have happened, there would have been a hole from Prairie Home Companion and how to fill that and what to do with radio. Well, it was really a 1-2 punch of Car Talk and then Garrison Keillor, kind of within a relatively similar time span. So these are really essential questions. How do you use radio on Saturday afternoon, and what would you like to hear? There are limitations, and we've looked hard and haven't found the secret magic thing, but we're still looking hard, and your feedback here really would help us a lot.
We brought our CFO in here to answer a couple of these questions, and one is about Prairie Home. So even when the program was replaced with Chris Thiele, the price remained the same. Linda, what was the price of that?
$16,000, $17,000. No, it was close to $18,000
a year,
and it was also a lot less programs. I mean, they only produced
one quarter,
13 new programs
a year
out of 52. So you have to kind of hate to say, but do the math, and was it worth it? If they had given stations maybe a break during that time to get a little more used to it and not have so many repeats, but have to really look at the numbers. They weren't there.
A comparable music program typically costs about $4,000 a year, not 18. So we had to consider that as well.
And usually when something like that happens, they will reduce the price because they know that that has to rebuild. I think they assumed that all the Prairie Home Companion people were just going to be right there. And then we noticed that the numbers started dropping to the listeners.
Carriage numbers across the country as well.
And it's not an easy decision. It's never an easy decision. But the numbers weren't there.
And it's worth saying, too, that we don't make these decisions in a goldfish bowl. So we have a community advisory board that we consult who reach also into their communities. We listen to the comments that we get after the changes are made, and very often we reach out to a lot of listeners and community members. So we take great pains. Not everybody hears them, I've noted, but we take great pains to announce these changes before they occur so people have a little bit of time to comment.
And it's sometimes up to 6 months that we have, 6 months to a year that we have contemplated this and done more research and also tried to negotiate with the national producers, but So it's not a snap decision. It's never a snap decision.
The other half of the equation is that our national programming prices are increasing in cost by about 3.5% a year. And that's just NPR. The other vendors tend to follow suit, yeah. And some are even more expensive. So it's very difficult for us to keep up with this.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Diana Duke in Sandpoint. Hi, Diana.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling.
I just wanted to commend the crew, Vern and Jim Tabanen, and I really enjoy the arts programs now, and I just wanted to let you know that it has brought me into a lot of the community theaters. I'm now a member, or I have season tickets to the Stage Left Theater and Ignite Theater, and I think the interviews they do are just wonderful during the day with all of the different theatrical programs going on.
It's great, great news to hear. Anything else you want while you got on the line here?
I do. I also wanted to let you know that I really love the Moth program and the story shorts, both on Saturdays and Sundays. I always make sure that I don't miss those. Or if I'm driving in the car, it's always great to hear those wonderful stories. And I also do agree with the last caller, with Jane, on the Living on Earth. I do miss that program. I have listened to the Climate One, and I do like it, but I still miss the Living on Earth.
Okay. That's good feedback. We'll put the tick on the list here, and two against our two for Living on Earth. All right. Thanks, Diana.
Okay. Thank you, and have a good evening.
Thanks. You too. Okay. Appreciate your call. Let's go next to Coeur d'Alene and Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
And I appreciate all that you do and good comments so far.
Thank you.
Just one piece of something that I've just noticed, that, you know, a lot of folks call in and provide comments on what their thoughts are on any particular issue. But in the real world, it would be nice if everyone could call in with their comment, but also provide a suggestion or a recommendation on how to make change. We can't continue to leave things open-ended. And so if anybody has ideas on how to make things better, I would think that would be a good part of a comment.
Well, here's your forum here. Do you have your own thoughts?
That is going to be a 1,000-foot comment on all issues and all comments. You know, you can make a comment, but then make a suggestion or a recommendation on how things could be changed. And I know at the national level it's difficult, but we can make change at the local level with how we make decisions on voting for commissioners, city officials, things of that nature. And so always making a recommendation for change is good.
So I'll give you the email right now. It's kpbx@kpbx.org. Be as brief or as long as you want to, and we'll read what you've got to say.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rebecca. Appreciate your call.
Yep, happy holidays. Yeah,
thank you. You too. 328-5729 if you're calling from Coeur d'Alene or Sandpoint. All three of our calls have been from North Idaho tonight. Thank you for that. It's 1-800-328-5729 if you have thoughts there. Yes, Carrie has told us that whenever we get a comment from folks, direct it to him, and he will answer, and he gets back to you fairly quickly. And we're happy to be able to hear what you have to say. If you have ideas, if you've heard programs in other places that you would like us to consider, let us know, because there are lots of great programs out there.
I'd like to bring up a subject, since we've had somebody from Sandpoint, a couple, and then somebody from Coeur d'Alene. The question always comes up, how thorough should we be in our weather reports versus getting so thorough and so minute that then it all just kind of blends together? Can we cover two or three areas? Should we try to cover 20 areas or communities? And so for further calls, we'd appreciate knowing, because we have, if you've not noticed, we have a wonderful decentralization here at Spokane Public Radio, by which each person on the radio has their own way of doing things, and there's no big edict edict on exactly the one way to do it. So you've heard a lot of different kinds of weather reports, and so let us know which one is serving you and how specific we should be versus how general we should be. So that's my query to people.
Very good. All right, let's go out past Sprague, and Kevin is on the line with us. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how are you guys this evening?
We're great. Thanks for calling in. What can we do for you?
I called to just say, number one, I love Zan's show. I've tried a couple of times to leave messages and realized the answering service that her show is recorded. But I love the change. First of all, I love her show. I can't wait to actually meet her face-to-face at the next meet and greet. And I know ever since Prairie Home's been gone that, I mean, you guys are always juggling chainsaws to begin with, but you guys are doing a great job. The weekend programming, I love. Wait is still and has been for however many years he's been on, or they've been on.
25
still
now.
One of my faves. But, yeah, I just want to say I am so glad that you guys are here. I have no interweb or TV out here, and I was telling the young lady earlier, got a radio my mom gave me in 1977 that it's literally the only station I get is KPBX. So you guys are full on the biggest part of my world.
Well, it's very kind of you to say. Thank you. We'll pass it along to Zan.
Kind of me. You guys are great. I just can't say enough. I love the BBC at night. I just love you guys.
Great.
I want to clarify for people that didn't know exactly what he was talking about. He was talking about Sound Space, which is Sunday night between 9 and 11. And a year ago, or 51 weeks ago, it went, or 50 weeks ago, it went from one hour to 2 hours. So now it's from 9 to 11 on Sunday night, Sound Space. The show itself, which has been gone way back and has had several really extraordinary hosts. And so if you haven't tried it and wondering for something else to do, try that 9 o'clock on Sunday night.
Thanks for calling, Kevin. Anything else?
Nothing. I've listened to you guys since I'm from where Maggie Crabtree's family is originally, way up above Northport.
Yeah.
And it used to be we got nothing but CBC until I got closer to Colville for work. And then you guys were my only station. And for a couple of years, my daughter and I had a little, used to be kind of an antiquated term, but a pirate station up there in Colville Valley. And you guys have always just been my heroes.
Well,
thank you.
Make our night. Thank you very much, Kevin. Good to hear from you.
Take care.
Thank you. We've got room for your call now at 1-800-328-5729. We've got a couple more votes for Living on Earth, one from Clark Fork, one from Spokane. Thank you for that. That's good to hear. And not enough from Brewster, not enough local news, too much national, loves the station. Well, okay, so as the local news guy, I guess, we're trying to figure out ways to do more. We've moved Steve to the afternoon so he can be our producer in the afternoon, and we're looking at trying to figure out how to be a little more efficient with our Inland Journal program, but we try to move everything from Inland Journal that you hear during the noon hour so that you can hear some parts of it during the morning or the afternoon. So we may have some more interviews. We're trying to reach out to do more city council interviews, more county commission interviews, more interviews with folks around the Inland Northwest. And so we're doing our best. We're trying to become more efficient, and we appreciate that you like it and you appreciate it.
But I'm wondering if he means local for Brewster. I mean, you know, we talk about local
and we think
Spokane, because,
yep.
you know, that's where we are.
No, you're right.
But I'm assuming that when he says more local news,
absolutely,
we
can certainly work on that. And just as our folks from Northern Idaho would like to hear more local news too.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we are working on that. The reality is we've got 2.5 reporters and a couple of interns to cover 20,000 square miles. And we've actually made good headway in expanding our local news coverage, but we don't have the personnel, we don't have the resources just to send to everything worth covering. So we're working on it, but you know, we need to grow in order to do that.
And you know, the news business all over, whether it be newspapers, whether it be TV stations, news staffs generally are getting smaller, and so. We're all doing the best we can with what we've got, and Buy your local newspaper, you know, support your local reporters. They're doing the best they can in the local. I know we've got that great debate over whether fake news, but I think generally folks believe in their local news. Their local news outlets.
Support your public radio station.
Yeah, whether it be this one or one that's closer to you, whatever it is. So thank you for the call for news. We're all in with you. So we've got about four folks are on the line. We're waiting for the next person. We're waiting to get a little bit of information about the next person we'll bring on. And we're about halfway through our call-in program. Let's just say that we're getting support for programming on KPBX and KSSC from Carol Hunter, attorney at law with Iman Allison Hunter Jones, addressing the needs of seniors and their families with residential appointments at 747-0101 and at their office in the historic Patsy Clark Building. Okay, let's just go to this line that's on hold. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air with Doug and Vern and Carrie and Linda.
Yeah, sorry, it's always hard to tell what's going on here. My name is Wayne. I call from Spokane, and just had a suggestion. You know, listening to the two calls for the Living on Earth, and local information. You know, one thing that Spokane has a lot of fairly active environmental organizations, and you know, having something along the lines of, you know, bringing them in for interviews. Mm-hmm. You know, just a short time, you know, the Riverkeeper, yep. Lands Council, yep. You know, Sierra Club, you know, what they do, how they do it, what their key issues are, how to get involved. You know, that'd be kind of a interesting thing. And another one, you know, you have the great panel discussions, you know, like the one just recently with the public health. And I think one would be interesting would be dealing with the PCBs in the Spokane River.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
Bring in right. EPA, Department of Ecology, some of the dischargers, the riverkeeper, and, you know, kind of discuss some of the hot topics that are going on there.
I think that's a great idea. And we've been thinking about doing more long-form sorts of interviews rather than the produced pieces that I've spent a lot of time doing just because they're easier to do. And we get more voices on the air. So Wayne, I think you're right on with your idea. I know that next week we're going to talk about a couple of Native American issues in Inland Journal, and so we're just trying to broaden the voices and the things that we're putting on the air. So we just appreciate your support and thank you for the idea.
We might also consider this for public forums and something like that.
Yeah.
So, thank you for chiming in.
Keep going, Wayne.
And also, you know, I'll throw the vote in for the climate show as opposed to Living on Earth. It's, you know, as a scientist, it always seemed like Living on Earth was a little too soft as far as their approach on things.
Okay.
I kind of like the higher level of information that the Climate Solutions Show, I think that's the right name, but
Climate One,
you know, gives Climate One. Yeah, thank you. Compared to Living on Earth. So, you know, I'm going to vote against the other two callers.
Okay.
I like the new show.
Okay.
You know, Science Friday is, you know, always one of my favorites. So
great. Well,
anyway, thanks. I love your programming. And, you know, I know you guys work hard to produce some pretty good shows.
Well, thanks for your support. We appreciate it, Wayne. 1-800-328-5729. Now we're going to go back to a Living on Earth lover and Ray from Sandpoint. Hi, Ray. Ray, hello. Can't hear you, Ray. Okay, Ray. It sounds like you've got your radio on, but you weren't near this. So I'm going to ask you to call back if you want. He said he killed his TV 40 years ago. He's for Living on Earth. Why not more tax support? And so those are good questions too. Mm-hmm. Carrie, did you want to talk about
tax support?
Yeah. About where do we sit with the federal government? And
sure. For the moment, we are okay. It can never be taken for granted. So the way this works is, and I guess I've known this for so long, I take it for granted that most people know. So there's actually a private company called the Corporation for Public Broadcasting that is funded by Congress in a bipartisan bill that started in 1967. So the way it works is Congress funds taxpayer money into that organization, and it very efficiently distributes that to public television and radio stations across the country. That comes to about $1.35 per citizen in the U.S. a year. And about 25 cents of that goes to radio. When I first arrived here, was six years ago. It seems like forever. In any case, when I first arrived here, it was about 14% of our budget. It's currently about 9%. But we are vigilant about making sure that this resource stays in place. If it does disappear, we may survive it, but it would certainly cripple us.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Jan from Spokane. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Thanks for calling in tonight.
Sure. I just wanted to tell you some of the things I really like about public radio. First of all, I'm a news junkie, but not just any news. I really just have to have my NPR national news in the morning and the evening, or it's just not the right day. And I appreciate local programs, but I really listen mostly for the national news. And I think that the generally that both sides are presented, and then the commentators or the people hosting the programs don't reach the conclusion. They just leave it for you to make the conclusion. So I think it makes people think about it. And I've learned about topics in a broader spectrum because more time is devoted to a topic than you get on the regular media news that are just short things.
So, yeah, good.
I think that's the goal, to just present the facts in the context and let people, listeners, reach their own conclusions. So thank you.
Yeah, my perspective is that's what's been happened. But the other thing I love, Wait, Don't Tell Me, I used to listen to it while I was waiting for Prairie Home Companion. And now I really, I mean, even before Prairie Home Companion was no longer on, I preferred Wait. I mean, I just really love that program. It's a highlight of Saturday. So it's a great, fun show. And finally, as a non-science person, I really appreciate the program on Fridays. It's
Science Friday.
Science Friday. Yes, I am always fascinated with the topics. I'm amazed how interesting it is when I think, oh, I don't know, I'm listening to that, and then I really enjoy it. So thank you for those programs.
Thank you.
Science Friday is an interesting case because they were packaged together with Talk of the Nation. Mm-hmm. When Talk of the Nation was retired, Science Friday was kind of cut loose from their vendor. I forget who that was.
And we had to fight for it. I think it was American Public.
No, it was NPR.
No, it was NPR.
It was an NPR's Talk of the Nation.
And they cut them loose, and they kind of went to freelance. And I think where they've ended up.
WNYC.
Yeah, yes. Which is
in New York.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
I got to tell you, boy, did we hear about it.
But we fought for it.
And we also heard about it from our listeners, that our listeners wanted this program. So.
And they also gave, you know, they knew that this was a major change. It had been bundled with another program that didn't exist anymore. So they also made it financially viable for us to carry it. Mm-hmm. Here's, you know, a perfect example of, yeah, well, we know we could probably get more money for it, but we need to rebuild this back up, and they fought to keep their program, and we fought to keep it as well.
Other things, Jan, that you'd like to share?
Nope, that's it. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you for the call, Jan. We appreciate your call. Let's go now to the next line is Amy. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, as I was talking to the gentleman that answered the phone initially, my question is, how does the cost of locally generated programming stack up against things that we get that are, you know, syndicated? Things like Wait, Don't Tell Me or whatnot, as opposed to, say, Zan's show.
Kind of depends. You know, the NPR shows have the largest audiences, and so, you know, supply mm-hmm. and demand means they can charge a lot of money. And mm-hmm. so Morning Edition and All Things Considered are the most expensive programs. And a lot of the other programs, well, for example, Fresh Air has been on the air for a long time. It's a fairly expensive program. Oh, Prairie Home Companion was. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a fairly expensive program. A lot of the programs we get for free or very little because they're either run by, they're either paid for by underwriting or there's somebody who is underwriting the cost of the program. Rick Steves, for example, on Saturday mornings on KSFC, underwrites his own program. And so he pays for it and makes it available to us for nothing. Local programs, Zan, for example, is a volunteer. So Zan does everything completely for nothing for us.
I'm going to come in on that because it's those, at this point, three amazing people because it's Zan and it's John Johnson with Johnson's Improbable History of Pop.
Which I love, by the way.
And Kevin Brown and his his Front Porch Bluegrass. And this,
another great show.
To me, is one of the real reasons we exist because this is three examples of people who are so dedicated to their art form and they're so great at it.
Tony
and they
Swain,
just keep giving and giving and giving. And frankly, I think that's one of the great reasons we exist is people like that.
Tony.
Personally,
Men in Charge.
Kevin in Charge. Friend, Kevin Ducker.
Let's let Amy back into the conversation here.
Okay. I just wanted to say that personally, I really love the locally produced programming that we have. I'm going to probably sound totally sacrilegious here in saying that I don't miss Prairie Home Companion one bit. And it's not just because Garrison Keillor is no longer with the show. Frankly, I was getting really tired of it. It was, you know, kind of a case of same stuff, different week. You know, it was getting very repetitious and frankly, rather stale. I actually kind of did a little jig when you guys said that you were going to drop it. Because I was thinking, you know what? That's 2 hours that we could fill with something eminently more entertaining. And I was really hoping that, you know, it would be locally produced pieces.
We had actually paid for it even as Chris Thiele took over, so we had some time to think about it a bit. But it had actually become a very different show with the same name. They tried keeping some aspects of the old show, but they never changed the price, and that's what really galled us.
Yeah. You know, I did like Chris Thiele, and I was excited for when he took over because I thought, okay, finally, fresh blood, shall we say. But then this bit of, you know, like you guys said earlier, 13 shows for an entire year.
Yes.
After you've heard it for the fourth or fifth time, you're just sitting there going, you know, wake me when it's over. I really do like our local stuff.
Great.
And how can we go about doing more of that? What does it take besides really dedicated people? I mean, we can only lean on those three so much.
Well, that's what it takes is dedicated people, and that's why I wanted – and Kevin and Tony also – why I wanted their names said because they're unique. And in my 30-some years here, I've been watching for these people, and they're rare when they come along because it can't be anybody. They have to have such a passion for it and such a desire to do it. And so, you know, we keep looking for them, but they are rare, and every time we find one, we rejoice.
Okay, how do you go about looking for them?
Well, mostly by the fact that there are so many musicians on the staff of Spokane Public Radio in all genres of music. Mm-hmm. And so we're always keeping our eyes and ears open and looking for them. We try to encourage people if they call in. But we haven't taken out newspaper ads or anything because then we have to find the very special people who would be so committed. And so we felt that it's just a matter of keeping looking until the magic ones come along.
Mm-hmm, yeah. If you would pass a little thing on to Zan for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I love her show.
We will.
It was an adjustment.
because I really, really, I was just a very faithful listener to when Norville had the show.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And it broke my heart to see us lose him. But she's doing a bang-up job now that I've adjusted and say, okay, this is not Norville.
Well,
this
but
is someone completely different, and she, you know, give her own bowl of kudos there because she is doing a wonderful job.
And I think she channels Norville. So
I think she does too.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. I would love to meet her someday. She just sounds like a really neat lady.
Well, she does show up to most of the SPR events we have here, so.
She was here earlier with
Izzy. Yeah, come on by.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm sorry, honey. You know, they say home is where the heart is. Mine is firmly rooted out here. And it's like trying to, I don't know what, it's really difficult to pry me out of my home. My husband passed away a year ago.
Oh, we're so sorry, gosh.
53 weeks ago today. He was a magnificent man. And I told him, I said, honey, I love you to pieces, but when you're gone, I'm becoming a sustaining member, okay?
Love hearing that.
Okay. Because for whatever his reason was, I never could get a clear answer from him on that one. He just, you know, SPR wasn't his thing, is my thing. Yeah. Because he liked to get his news from, you know, television and whatnot. Within about 3 weeks after he passed, I canceled the Dish Network because I never use it. You know, why pay out $80-something dollars a month for something you don't use? So, yeah, I canceled that. And then when the very next pledge drive came around, which was in the spring, I said, sign me up.
Well, thank you very much.
Amy, so, I'm going to move along to the next caller, but I loved hearing your story, and I hope you're doing well. Let's go to Caleb in Coeur d'Alene. Caleb, thanks for waiting.
Yeah, that was worth it, listening to that last caller.
Oh, good.
Which is, I started listening to SPR driving back and forth from Spokane to Coeur d'Alene, so I had a 45-minute trip in the morning and in the afternoons, and I fell in love with it. I couldn't imagine not having all of that programming in. And just hearing her story, I think this is why we have public radio, both in the local level and in the national level, is to get those stories heard. My question also has to do with my comment. I'm a high school teacher in Coeur d'Alene, and I've just loved all of the range of programming, especially from the more expensive NPR programs, but also from the local programs that feature I know sometimes the local tribal radio broadcasts that come through, those are really valuable because having some of my students who are members of the tribe know that voices are being heard and represented is really valuable. And actually right now, a group of my students are doing the NPR podcast contest.
Oh yeah, nice. Right. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. And I'm trying to direct them to programs, and it's so cool to tell them, like, okay, your homework tonight is to turn on your radio, tune into 91.9. And since the translator systems have really been boosted in the last couple years, I was really excited when I could start listening in Coeur d'Alene and driving all the way to Seattle. I only lost them, you know, just pretty far out of Spokane. I was like, great, I could listen to a whole hour and a half just because of the coverage. So that's really valuable. I am a sustaining member, but something that's always been in the back of my mind, I went to school at Whitworth, so I get to listen to Leonard Oakland at sometimes when he does the music programs, and that's always great to hear. But I've always wondered, well, how could I, as a teacher, and even encourage some of my students who have voices? I coach speech and debate, so I'm always dealing with students and speakers, and I'm wondering, well, what programs and ways could I be promoting in my classroom? And even participating myself beyond just contributing money and listening and spreading the word. Are there opportunities for student internships or other ways that we can become active or volunteering?
So, yeah, certainly. Why don't you contact our internship person is Stephanie Ingleby,
okay.
And you can call her during the day. and she would be happy to run over the possibilities of how you could get involved and give your time.
Great.
Good.
That's a simple answer to a question I just haven't ever itched in a long time.
Well, it's great to hear from you, Caleb. Thank you for calling in.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Keep up the good work.
Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Okay. So we've got about 10 more minutes for phone calls, 328-5729. Let's go to Gene in Spokane. Hello, Gene. Thanks for joining
Hello.
Us tonight.
How are you doing this evening?
We're well. You're on. What's up?
Well, I've really got to second, I believe her name was Jan, when you guys popped Prairie Home Companion. That thing had run its course, then some, and then when they changed to the new host, I thought it was just totally, almost painful.
You know, and it's kind of interesting because some people really liked him. They liked he sort of modernized the music a little bit, so it just comes down to a matter of taste.
Yes, it does, indeed. And it is definitely in your mouth if you have none in your ears. However, what I really enjoy is I love the big band music you guys play, Swinging Down the Lane and Fascinating Rhythm. And I've even stayed up long enough to hear Afterglow and that sort of thing, and I just love it. I would really like to see more of that, like during the earlier times, maybe late afternoon, early evening, and anything Michael Pittori does is okay by me. I think he is absolutely fabulous, and what a musical mind.
Well, he's got a lot of fans sitting right here in this room, so yes, indeed. And as the former executive producer of Afterglow, because I came here from Indiana, it's a terrific program. The problem with radio is that we have 24 hours in the day, and if we put something off or move something around, no matter what it is, it's got an audience there. So we make such changes with we try to do them with the scalpel. And the fact of the matter is, we've made more changes here in the last 18 months, two years, than I've made in 20 years in this business.
Felt like it's been with a sledgehammer.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It has, and, you know, we've been driven to it partly by pricing, but a lot of it's just a sea change in public radio. As hosts retire, some have passed away, programs age out, or they're not being produced anymore, or they're being replaced, and we're always looking for the next...
And there's, you know, there's good radio coming. I mean, there are some new things, and we'll hear and go, oh my, where could we put that? I mean, Doug is struggling, and Vern too, struggling with that a lot. Is here's a really good show, but
what do we take away?
What
in order
do we take
put it
away?
Right. Afterglow is a case in point where the former host actually passed away, and he'd done that show for 20, 25 years. And just a wonderful, wonderful host. And so it's gone through a couple of transitions, but the original host still inspires it. So thank you for that. It's very personal for me.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gene. Good to hear from you. Thank you for calling in. Let's get Gary into the conversation. Hi, Gary.
Hi. How are you doing tonight?
We're good. We're well. How are you?
Just fine, thanks. Well, say, you know, I wanted to tell you, I know Jim Tevenin, and I like Jim Tevenin, and I'm afraid this is going to sound like I'm dissing Jim Tevenin. But what happened to performance today, and why?
You've been waiting all night for this, Gary.
Well, yeah, I was asked the same question about three or four times, actually, from people here coming through for the open house. So, what happened to performance today, yes? So performance today was running around, $16,000, $18,000, Linda?
Yep, $17,000. Yeah.
And support for the program over time has been declining. So had the audience, according to the surveys that we get from Nielsen, actually. So we track this as well as comments and how it does during fund drive and how it does. So part of it's art and part of it's just data. And we could no longer afford it for the audience it was gaining, or not gaining, but losing, rather. And there was a viable option in exploring music with Bill McLaughlin. Bill is an iconic classical music host. He came out of St. Paul Sunday. Was it St. Paul Sunday, Vern?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so he's really an expert musician in addition to just a wonderful host. So it was a great opportunity, I think, to bring something on that we had looked at for a long time. And it's always painful to lose a beloved program. And personally, I really, really miss the Piano Puzzler.
Mm-hmm.
That just kills me.
Yes, yes. I lived each week for the Piano Puzzler.
Yeah, so...
I tell you what, I know that Jim Tevenden plays the piano. Why don't you tell him to do a Piano Puzzler?
I'll bring that up.
Yeah, do it.
I will.
All right.
Okay, I hope that answers your question, sir. Did it?
Yes, it does.
Great.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Good to hear from you, Gary. Thank you for the call. We got time for one more, so let's go to Rob in Moscow. Hi, Rob.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
We're well. How are you?
Hello.
20 years KPBX listener.
Thank you.
Longtime friend of one of your staff people who will not be named, but we worked together in radio 40 years ago.
Wow.
My question is, Steve Jackson and Peter, I can never pronounce his last name.
Glarborg.
Used to be morning drive and afternoon drive, excuse me, have switched. I'm wondering, is that permanent? Was it their idea? Was it management's idea? Is it just shake things up for fun?
No, it was my idea, and here's the reason why. We have two reporters. We have me and we have Steve. And one of the things mm-hmm. that when I came back here, this is my fourth go-around at Spokane Public Radio, one of the things that I told Carrie is that I thought we needed to do more local news. And with two guys...
And you do way better than Northwest Public Broadcasting.
Well,
you are terrific.
That's very nice of you to say. But in order for what Steve was doing was spending half of his time, 20 hours a week in a studio... mm-hmm. And he needed time to be able to do more reporting. And so by switching mm-hmm. the two of them, Pete is not a reporter. So I'm perfectly happy with Pete sitting in a studio for a little bit longer. This reduces Steve's obligation in the studio to 12 hours a week, which in essence gives him one extra day of reporting a week, which is an hour and a half. So what that does is it allows Steve to do more reporting for us, which means that we can do more local stuff in the morning and the afternoon. And so it took a little getting used to for Steve. He'd done Morning Edition for 12 or 14 years.
And for Pete.
Rob, you've probably done Morning Drive if you've done radio, and you know that getting up at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning takes a lot of getting used to. Your body doesn't. So as to the question of whether or not it is going to be permanent, frankly, it depends on how well Pete's body adjusts to it. And so,
okay. Well, now I know. Thank you for the answer. Have a great night.
And so if Pete's okay with it, we'll keep along with it.
And as far as Doug being here four times, we keep throwing him out, and he keeps coming back.
That's not quite how that works.
It's because I can't find a better job. Yeah. So anyway, good to hear from you, Rob. Thank you for the call, and thank you, everybody, for calling in. We love to do this program, and we get a lot out of it. And so we'll do it again maybe we'll do one first part of next year or something like that. So we want to say thank you to Carrie, thank you to Vern, thank you to Linda, thank you for listening. We will be back to our regular programming at 7 o'clock, and tomorrow night you'll hear All Things Considered until 6:30. So you're listening to KPBX at FM 91.1 in Spokane, and we'll get to, at 7 o'clock, to our regular programming.